You're about to listen to a message from Foursquare Gospel Church, a city on the hill. Be blessed as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Our theme for this conference is putting away strange gods. And I'll be sharing with us, from this theme, I have come with a topic. I said, biblical demands for God's blessings. Biblical demands for God's blessing. Our theme text is taken from Genesis 35, verse 1 to 2. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I have come in your name. I bow my knees before you, and I thank you for your grace upon my life. As I open my mouth this hour, thank you because you will fill it with your word, that every one of us here will be blessed tonight and our lives will not be the same again. In the mighty name of Jesus, lead us, Lord Holy Spirit, and we'll follow you. Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Biblical demands for God's blessings. Genesis chapter 35, verse 1 and 2. Genesis 35, verse 1 and 2. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange god that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Every battle is preceded by a trumpet. Every battle is preceded by the sound of a trumpet. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8 says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? God's trumpet is sounding. He's sounding to get the saints ready and prepare for what lies ahead. We are people meant to take territories. We are people meant to be in charge. We are people meant to rule our world. Somebody is going to live here to go and rule his world in the mighty name of Jesus. I said somebody who is at the sound of my voice is living here to go and take territory for Jesus. Hallelujah. It is when God wants to do something special in the lives of his people that he calls for consecration. When God is about to do something special in the life of his people, he calls them apart for a deepening in their walk with God. When God wants to take his people on a higher ground, that's when he calls them unto the place of holiness. It is only those who have worn their clothes who qualify for God's visitation. Somebody is at the sound of my voice. I see God visiting you, visiting your family, visiting your business. Your life will not be the same again at the end of this program. I didn't hear your believing, amen. It is everyone's responsibility to prepare for God's visitation. You know, when the president of a nation is coming, what do? You prepare. Abi, if the district overseer is coming here, you know, you are too close, you are very close to the district overseer. But for us, you know, for zones that are far off, if the district overseer is visiting the zone, you know how the preparation you begin to make. You understand what I'm talking about? If God is going to visit, there will be a preparation. You know, in 2 Chronicles 27, verse 6, the Bible says, so Jotham became mighty because he prepared his way before the Lord his God. 2 Chronicles 27, verse 6. Jotham became mighty. Why? Because he prepared his way before the Lord his God. So preparation is key to whatever God will do in your life. If you want God to do something in your life, preparation is vital. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his way before the Lord his God. And if God is calling for us to prepare our way in the place of consecration, then God is about to do something in our life. You will not miss his visitation. Somebody did not hear me. I said you will not miss the blessing of God. Because you cannot have the visitation of God and not be blessed. Let's look at Genesis chapter 16. Genesis 16 verse 16. Genesis chapter 16 verse 16. Genesis 16. Look at it. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham. The next verse, that's 17 verse 1. Thank you. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. How old was Abraham here? Yeah? 99 years. Let's go back to the previous verse. Look at it. How old was Abraham here? Yeah? What's the difference? 13 years. God had to call Abraham to a deeper walk with him. A deeper and a blameless walk with him. There was 13 years of broken fellowship. But for God to visit Abraham, for God to do that which he has promised to do for him, God called him to a walk. He said, walk before me, Abraham, and be blameless. 13 years of broken fellowship. We know the story of Jacob. God had to call Jacob to return to Bethel. This became important for the fulfillment of God's promise to him, the promise he has made to his fathers, his grandpa and his father, and to him. Jacob at this time had become a casual visitor. When in Genesis 35, where we read, when God was telling him, go back to Bethel, return back to Bethel. Jacob had become a casual visitor to the presence of God. And that's the position of many in the church. Yes, we appear in the church. We still speak in tongues. When we lead songs, we still lead songs, and heaven will come down. But you yourself, you know that your walk with God is not perfect. Are you with me? Look, activity is not synonymous with productivity in the things of God. So that's why there was a man of God who told us in Four Square Camp in 1985, Evangelist Williams or so, the man that was in Badagry, Evangelist Williams Abbey. He told us in camp, in Four Square Camp in 1985, youth camp. He said, for 3 months, I may not have had a wonderful fellowship with God, but when I say the dead will rise up, the dead will rise up. Because the gift and the calling of God, they are without repentance. The fact that you say to demon, go, and they go, does not mean your life is right with God. Is somebody hearing me this evening? That's why you must watch it. When you read in the scriptures, when the Bible said, Jesus, they said, we cast out demons in your name. We do more signs and wonders in your name. And he said, sorry, I know you not. You know, after giving my life to Christ, and when before I get to know in the last few years, I was thinking that God was just referring to people who are celeb prophets and all those KNS. You understand what I'm talking about? But later, I came to understand that God was referring. Jesus is in that place, is referring to believers. If your life is not right with God, there is nothing you give to God that will be acceptable. But you can still do signs and wonders, though. Jacob at this time was a casual visitor to the house of God. There was a broken fellowship. In fact, Jacob has come to the level that he sought God majorly when he had problems. It is when he has problems he will go to God. You remember, if you go to the scriptures, when he had problem with his brother, you know he ran because of his brother. And when he was returning, he felt that his brother, the anger has not subsided. And that's why he went to God. That's why he had an encounter with God. So that's why we should be careful. Jacob also equally lost faith. Let's look at Genesis 34 verse 30. Genesis 34 verse 30. And Jacob said to Simeon, and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I be few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. What am I saying there? Jacob had come to the level where, if you read the story that came before it, he had a problem. His children killed so many people because their sister, you know, the Bible said, Dinah went out, you know, to look at the daughters of the land. And because of when she went to do that, she was raped. And in their trick, Simon and Levi, you know, they killed so many people. And Jacob had to run out of that place. But if Jacob had believed, had placed his trust in the God Jehovah, he would not have said, "You, all these people want to kill me." You know, sometimes why we are afraid is when we don't trust God, it's because we have lost fellowship. Look at when you are high up there spiritually. You too, you are ready to kill any demon in town. Why? Because you are high up there. Because the Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploit. But Jacob had lost faith in God. He was not only a casual visitor to God, he has also lost faith. There are many people who are in church. They still teach on Sunday school. But when it comes to a little, their faith is in something else. But they still come to church. They still sing. They still preach. They still teach in Sunday school. But we look at them that they are high up there. But God knows they are not high up there. I pray for somebody, you will be high up there. You will not come down. For Jacob, Bethel was a place of dreams. God said to Jacob, go back to Bethel. Return back. Arise. You see, when God is telling somebody to arise, it means he's seated. It means he's down. Arise, go up. It means the place where Jacob was, he was down. May you not be down spiritually. I said you will not be down spiritually. God said, arise. Go up to Bethel. Somebody will arise this weekend. These 3 days, God is going to lift up somebody. In your business, he will lift you. In your spiritual life, he will lift you. In your family life, he will lift you. In the mighty name of Jesus. For Jacob, Bethel was a place of dreams. Bible said he got to Bethel in chapter 28. That was the place where he had the first encounter with God. Beloved, you remember the time you had an encounter with God. Bethel was a place of vision. He saw visions of God. The visions of angels going up on a ladder to and fro heaven.
Bethel was a place of promises where God promised him, I will do this and this for you. Bethel was for him, but Jacob was a place of vow. He made a vow. Beloved, you remember when God, you vowed to God. You dedicated your life to God. Are you still there now? When you make commitment, God, I'm going to serve you with all my life. That was the starting point for Jacob. It was a place of dedication. You see that in Genesis chapter 28, from verse 12 to verse 22. It was a place of first encounter. He had an encounter with God. He met with the God of his first love. In Revelation chapter 2, let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, this thing says, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, verse 2, I know your works. Everybody say, I know your works. Who is talking there? God. Your labor. He said, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. And that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found themselves liars. Verse 3. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Beloved, God knows you more than any other person. More than you know yourself, he knows you. He knows your labor. He knows what you are doing right and what you are doing wrong. God, Jesus was commending the church of Ephesus here for their perseverance, for their labor, for their standing true in faith. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. He said, look at it. He said, nevertheless. Everybody say, nevertheless. When you hear nevertheless in English, it means, however, but. In other words, I say, comma. Nevertheless, I have something against you. God is saying to us, look, I know your labor. I know the way you are doing. I know what you are doing. But God is still saying, look, I know I have this against you. I have this against you. What does God have against us? He said, we have lost our first love. No, let's ask ourselves, where you are today. You remember when you started? When they call for evangelism, you are there. Some of us, what we coming to church on Sunday for workers' prayer meeting, in those days, you are up there. But now, so that pastor will not bench me, he will not say, I will not walk. That's why you are doing it. God is seeing your heart. The Bible says the heart of the Lord is going to and fro the heart, looking for those whose heart is perfect towards him. Let's look at requirement for God's blessings. Let's look at the demands, what God demands from us. And I will look at that from Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. I'll continue with where I stop on Revelation. Hosea chapter 6 from verse 1. We are going to read verse 1 to 3. Hosea chapter 6 from verse 1. Hosea chapter 6 verse 1. Can church, can we read together? 1, 2, go. Come, let us return to the Lord. Come, let us what? Let's look at it. Is it for he has what? Okay, go ahead. God will heal somebody tonight. I said, God will heal your business tonight. God will heal your wounds tonight. Your sickness will be healed. Whatever sickness that came with you will not go with you. This is a breakthrough ground where every breakdown ends. Whatever is the sickness that came with you, you will not go back with it. They will drop off you in the name of Jesus. Come. Come, let us return to the Lord. I'll be looking at four hours. Return. The first one is return. 4 hours. We look at return. Time to return. Beloved, he said, come and let us return unto the Lord. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. Then we shall know if we follow unto know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain. So we are looking at time to return, time for revival, time for raising, and time for showers of rain, of blessing. No one can experience the rain of God's blessing. We come from the visitation of God without addressing the issue of consecration. If you want the blessing of God, you must deal with the issue of consecration. You must deal with the issue of consecration. That's what God was telling Jacob in Genesis 35. I want to bless you, but I cannot bless you until there is a place of returning. When we talk about return, the word return in Hosea means to turn back, to come back, to turn around, turn yourself, to cease or turn away from evil. Let's look at the word turn. I have about 5 points on return. Number one, it means to go back to the place of departure. This is where you are, and you left for this place. And God is saying, go back to where you started from. Go back to Bethel and dwell there. The place of your consecration, the place where you committed your life to Jesus. Go back there. Where you dedicated your life to Christ. You are saying, God, I'm ready for your service. I'm ready to be everything for you. Go back there. Go back to your place of departure. That's what God is telling us tonight. It may be your prayer life. Some of us, you know, in those days, how you pray 2 hours, 3 hours in a day. But are you still there now? Are we still there now? Are we still there now? You know how you wake up in the night to pray. But prosperity has set in, has come in. Then we don't have time for God. The story was said of a man. They pray for him to have a breakthrough. By the time he got the breakthrough, the pastor was the one now pursuing him to come to church. The day pastor saw him, he said, pastor, you know the kind of business I'm doing now. I can't leave it for service. You know God wants to bless his people. Because the end time church is a glorious church. He said, through prosperity, my city shall yet be spread abroad. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17. True prosperity. In other words, God wants to bless you. Bless me. Bless every one of us. Why? For the extension of the gospel. But you know why God cannot commit his trust into us? If he will give us stupendous wealth, we will not be in church. There are people who are part of here. They have heard about this program for days, for weeks, for months, but they are not here. And they will not even show up in the next 3 days. You know why? Business, my business, my business, my business. That's why God is calling us to go back. That's not the way we started. Some of us is a tall order to come to Bible study. I wonder what happened to the Christians of these days. In those days, in this place, if I missed Bible study because of my work then, when I was working in an agency, advertising agency, if I come late, because sometimes in the evening, some of our clients will say, come in the evening. He said, we make money in the morning, we spend it in the evening. The Indian man, I was designated to, you know, to service the account of their business account. He say, Niyi, we make money in the morning, we spend it in the evening, so come in the evening. He will schedule the meeting for 5 o'clock in Ikeja or by Akran. And then you know the traffic in Lagos. By the time you are finishing, maybe around 6 or past 6, and Bible study has started, we will crash here. I was not a pastor. The day I miss is like something has gone out of my life. It's like as if I have sinned. Not deliberately, but some of us will miss Bible study today. It doesn't affect us. Something is wrong with you. That's why God is saying, go back to Bethel. Go back to the place where you started with me. That was the place where Jacob had the first encounter with God. It has been the God of my father, the God of my grandfather. But in Bethel, himself had an encounter with God. That's why he said, God is saying, go back to your first love. Go back to the place of departure. In your Bible study, in your prayer meeting, in your witnessing, personal witnessing. Some of us are there. You go and share. And even if anybody is not sharing, you will go and do. When last did you witness to somebody? When last did we witness? When church called for evangelism, are we there? Maybe the children will be the one to gather. And we see pastors and one or two others. Why? We are busy. It also means to go back to God from our backsliding. Some of us, we have gone back. We have gone back from God. But do you know, the fact a backslider, you will not leave church in one day. It starts small, 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 small. God is asking us to return back to him from our backsliding. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1 and 2. You can write that one down because we don't have that time. It also means to return from exile. Exile. Ezra chapter 2, verse 1. You know what an exile is? Eh? You go on exile. And God is saying, return. You know, some of us have gone on spiritual exile. Some believers in church have gone on spiritual exile from God's service. Somebody offended you, said, I'm not working. Are you doing God, or are you doing pastor, or you are doing yourself? He said, you offended me. If your boss offended you in church, in your office, will you quit the business? You just say, I'm resigning now. Why? He just abused me. But if pastor abuse you, you will not come to church because the church belongs to your pastor. It means you have not found your level in God. You are still in the crash of the school of God. Said somebody, the Sunday school superintendent talked to me anyhow. I'm no longer teaching. God will ask you. Every gift God has given to us, you are going to give account. Look, I want you to know that you are not the owner of your life. You are a steward. You are a steward. One man rose up one day. He said, oh, my soul, look at what you have gathered. Gathered. Enter into the joy. Begin to eat and then begin to make melody. Drink wine, enjoy yourself. And the owner of life said, foolish man, today your life is taken away from you. May that not be your story. Your treasure, your talent, your time, your treasure, and your talent belongs to God. And God, you know, God is a generous owner. Your life is owned by God. Your time is owned by God. He said, I don't have time. You know my time, I don't have time. Which time? Is the time your own? God is a generous giver, generous owner. What do I mean? Estate agents are stewards. Am I correct? Because a steward is somebody entrusted to manage somebody else's business. So, maybe you have this house now, it's your own. You give him, manage it for me. Bring, how much do they collect? 10%. Abi? 10%. But God, the owner of your life, he says, give me 10%, take 90. You, the steward, he gives you the 90. He said, take it. Do you know some of us are struggling even with the 10? Hello, do you understand what I'm talking about? If you ask you now, how many of us are tithers here? When you started, it was not like that. But something came along the line. You felt that your needs is small. May God not take the little you have. I said, may God not take the one you have. In the mighty name of Jesus. We must return back from our spiritual exile. God is calling us to return to the place of service. Serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm 100 verse 2. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with joy. Don't serve the Lord because Reverend Oluwadipe or whosoever will reward you. No man can reward you. No pastor can reward you. Only God can reward you. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And God will reward you. I said, my God will reward you. God will reward you. In the name of Jesus, God will reward you. It might be in our area of relationship. You are gone on exile. He said, this one, I will not relate with this one. God is calling you back to return. Return. That's what God is calling. God told Hagar, in Genesis 16, verse 9, He said, Hagar, return back to your madam. Relationship is vital. And I want to let you know, look, whosoever, we need one another. Look at wherever you are today. Through one person or the other, you get there. You got to that place through one person or the other. There is no self. Somebody will say, I'm a self-made man. It's a lie. Anybody that is helped, is helped by somebody. And God is the helper of all. We need one another. That's why if you have a cause to disagree, let's disagree to agree. You will need one another. If you are closing a relationship, somebody said, if you want to close a door, close it gently. Because you might need that door to go to the next door, to go to the next level in your life. By the time you get to the door, you are bang it and the key, you throw the key into the ocean. The day you want to pass through that same door you locked, it will be locked. May that not be your story. That's why we need one another. And we might have cause to disagree. But we are brothers. He told Hagar, return back to your mistress. Return back to your mistress. The next one, it means to turn away from evil. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 4. Idolatry is evil before the Lord. Ezekiel 14 verse 6. Idolatry is evil before the Lord. The next one, it means to put away iniquity from your ways. Job chapter 22, verse 23. Job 22, verse 23. If thou return to the Almighty, you will be built up. If thou do what? You can see why in the church, many of us in the church are not being built up. Why? Because there are many ways we have gone away from the Lord. If thou return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far, far from your tents. What is iniquity? Iniquity is habitual sinning. Habitual sinning. It has become a habit for you. If thou return to the Almighty, you will be built up. Verse 24. Then you will lay up gold, your gold in the dust, and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks. Verse 25. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and precious silver. The next one. For then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. Verse 27. You will make your prayer to Him. He will hear you and you will pay your vows. You can see why many of us prayers are not being answered. You will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. The last verse, verse 29. When they say there is a casting down, you will be saying there is a lifting or that will be your story. When your colleagues are saying there is a casting down in Nigeria, you will be saying what? There will be a lifting up for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. We must put away iniquity. God told Jacob, return to the place of your first love, the place of renewal, the place where you dedicated your life to me. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, God says, Hosea chapter 10 verse 12, he said, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rain righteousness upon you. What is God saying here? God is saying that there are some areas of our lives that we must deal with if we must qualify for his blessing. Break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground, they are uncultivated grounds. They are untilled ground. They are untilled ground. It will take serious effort to till that ground. And if you plant there, you are wasting whatever you are planting there. He said, break up your fallow ground. That's what God is saying to us. We must break the fallow grounds. No one that wants to get the blessing of God that will not consecrate his life specially to God. And when God is saying that we should break up the fallow ground, this starts from our heart. I want to know that the issue of prosperity, the issue of poverty, the issue of righteousness, the issue of sin, it starts from the heart. It starts from our heart. That's why Jesus said, from the heart proceeded evil thoughts, murder, and what have you. From the heart. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There are things you must deal with in your life. There are things you must give up to go up in the program of God for your life. Many of us, you can't sleep on the lap of Delilah and then still enjoy the grace of God. He said, can we continue in sin and expect the grace of God to continue? He said, God forbid. If you want the blessing of God, we must return from wickedness. We must return from iniquity. We must consecrate our lives to God. We must walk in purity. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to anybody. I pray that you will not go the way of sin. You know the story of Samson. How he started well but finished badly. He did not end well. That will not be our story. In the mighty name of Jesus. There are some of us, they will be telling you, well, this one, Bible says, he that is being warned, but hardeneth his heart, we perish without remedy. We perish without remedy. Some of us, they cannot talk to you. When anybody, you look at their face, you don't even have a mentor. Some of us are there. Your parents cannot talk to you. When they talk to you, you look at them. That was the story of Samson. When his father talked to him, he looked at them like this. They said, sorry, we're just playing with you. Because he's ready to tear them. Anybody that talk to you, you will finish them with your mouth. Such a person will never go far in life. We never go far. That's why God is calling us to return. The way we talk, the way we look, in our behavior, in our attitude. Some of them, they will do something. He said, me, I will not take. I will give them. I was saying something to some of our pastors yesterday. Our pastor said, I'm a member, by the grace of God, a member of the board of directors. That's the highest policy-making body. That's the policy-making body of our Foursquare. It's a privileged position to be there. But God put me there by his grace. But let me tell you something. Something happened some few years back. I walked to the office of one of the members of directors. The person is still there. And the person just, Reverend E, blah, 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 blah. I felt like crying. You know why I felt like crying? In the course of doing that work, I almost lose my life. My life was almost lost. I was knocked down by Marwa. I turned like this. In fact, the impact on the cloth is still there. My wardrobe. I have not touched that clothes. It's still there. I just see it there. And then in doing that same work, somebody just saw me, you know, who felt, I don't know, just started, let me use the word, wash me down. I could have given back to the person. Emi Ogba, nonsense. Give back to me. Some of us say, my father, I will give him. I'll give her. But God grant me grace. I left the office of the person. I just remembered after I was nominated for the board. You know, they will nominate you. When somebody nominated, somebody will second. And somebody told me, when my name was nominated, it was like a consensus. The whole house said, we supported. Nii, Oloyede supported. And I just asked myself, if that they are giving back to the person, and the person will say, everybody will say, yes. He said, sorry, I have something against that young man. He said, I don't want to say it. They say it. He said, please, let's wash that name. Even if she does not, somebody will say, if the person has something against, please, let's put the name aside. That's how I would have dropped it. Your attitude matters. Somebody say, attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. Many of us are not looking at our character. That's why God is saying we should return. We are talking about ministry. Ministry without character is zero. You are not going anywhere. He said, our Geo taught us, he said, the foundation of ministry is character. Some of us, what is the name that you have outside there? We must be careful the way we live our lives. We must return back to the Lord. Say a year. I pray you will hear well. What is the manner of our return? We must our return must be total. Must be total. It must be with all our hearts. It must be with all our soul. You can return. They know you are there. Somebody, I remember a story, something I read. They asked a boy to stand up. He was sitting. He said, Daddy, I am standing up, but in my heart, I am sitting down. It must be with all your heart, with all your soul. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 38 and 39. He said, you must return with all your soul, with all your heart. Our returning must be total. If we are going to get the blessing, if we are going to get the rain of God's blessing. Number two, I talk about the rain, about the return. Second one is revival. In Hosea, where we have read, the word revive means to refresh, to make alive, to quicken, to live anew. Revival is simply God's presence coming down in the midst of men to make a change in their lives. Church, if we are going to see revival giving birth into in this church, we must, all of us as workers, must first of all return back to God. If you are going to see the visitation of God, if you want to see the power of God move here, if you want to see signs and wonders here, we must first of all live right. We must live right. We can't, we will not, we are, when we are touching there, all of us are touching and then we are coming here, we want God to move. How will God move? God has moved before in this church and he will move again. I said in our days, he will move again. I remember one time, one woman was seated at that back there. One Sunday morning, she ran out of this auditorium. Service was going on Sunday morning. She ran out. Why? Because of the fire of his presence. The fire of his presence will be battered again here. I didn't hear your believing amen. It comes from returning back to God. When you live right, then there will be a spark in the realm of the spirit. We will see the move of God in a way we have never seen before. It starts with our consecration. It starts with us. Tell somebody it starts with you. What are we talking about? God does not come until the way is prepared for him. By breaking all fallow grounds in our lives. When there is a genuine repentance, when there is a genuine returning back to the law, when there is a genuine discarding the idolatry, idols in our lives. Some of us, money has become our idols. If you cannot pay your tithe correctly, then money has become your idol. How do you know a man? His heart towards God. Look at money. That's why Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. He will serve one and he will become a problem to the other. You know, you want to serve two masters. You can't. It's not possible. If you want to know how the heart of a man towards God, look at his heart towards money. Your tithe is 25,000. You put 10,000 there. Pastor does not know, but God knows. You know Ananias and Sapphira. They were the one who sold it. Barnabas brought everything. Nobody compelled them to bring everything. All they needed to say is that we sold it for 1 million, but we are giving the church 500,000. But they came, all I have is given to me by the Lord. All I have, everybody too, they were dancing. All I have is given to me. They were carrying as if they are giving all to the Lord. Whereas they were giving a portion. And the God of judgment came for them. God is still judging people in the church today. That's why many people's business are not doing fine. That's why many people are not doing well in their career. Why? God's judgment. I pray, whosoever is here at the sound of my voice, whose judgment of God is upon, I ask for mercy for such one. In the mighty name of Jesus. The judgment of God came upon them. That will not be our story. When there is a genuine return to the Lord, there will be revival of our dead businesses. There will be revival in our career. There will be revival in our spiritual life. There will be revival in our finances. There will be revival all around. I pray for revival to start in your home, to start in your life, to start in our church. What the next one? Time for raising up. He said, in the third day, he will raise you up. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. In the third day, he will raise you up. This means to cause you to rise. I see your business rising. I see your business rising. I see God's lifting coming in your direction. In your career. In your academics. In the name of Jesus. Without return, there won't be revival. And without revival, there won't be raising. There won't be lifting. God is the lifter of our heads. Promotion comes from the Lord. The Lord will lift you. The Lord will restore your joy. He will restore your peace. Your life shall experience the touch of God in the name of Jesus. And lastly, time for rain, time for return, time for revival, time for raising up, and time for rain. He said he will give us rain in verse 3. Verse 3. After 2 days, let us, verse 3. Let's go back to verse 2. And after 2 days, he will revive us. Give me King James. The old faithful King James. After 2 days, will he revive us? And the third day, he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. You will live. That business will live. You will live and you will not die. I say you will live and you will not die. Every judgment of death upon your life and destiny, I command them destroyed in the name of Jesus. I say every judgment of death, and you that has an appointment with death, I cancel that death in the name of Jesus. I decree over your life, by the anointing and the grace of God upon my life, you will live and you will not die. That arrow of death is nullified. I didn't hear your believing amen. I say you will not die. Say I will not die. Say my business will not die. Say my spouse will not die. Say none of my children will die. Say I will not die. Rise up on your feet. Say I will not die. You will not die. You will live. You will fulfill destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus. Look at his beseated. He said, then shall we know. If we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain. And the latter and the former rain unto the heart. When we talk about rain in the scripture, we are talking about blessing. Is somebody with me? Rain talks about blessing. There will be showers of blessing in your home. I see the shower of blessing coming in this church. I said the shower of blessing is coming in this church. In the name of Jesus. But if rain, he said he will give us the latter and the former rain together. The former rain is the rain that comes at the time of planting. When you want to plant, it helps you to make the ground soft. It helps the farmer. The people God was talking to here were farmers. Former rain helps them at the planting season. And the latter rain helps them. It helps to ripen the harvest so that they can have a bountiful harvest. God says, look, I will give you the two rains together. I see double blessing coming for you. I said double blessing is coming at the end of this program for you and your household. That business, life comes up into it. In the name of Jesus, where you have been forgotten, they will call you for business. In the name of Jesus, that promotion that you have been denied, I see it coming your way. In the name of Jesus, that promotion you don't deserve in your place of work, they will give to you in the name of Jesus. God said he will give us the former and the latter rain together. When there is a return, it's only genuine return that will provoke not only revival and the raising up, it will provoke the kind of blessing you have never seen before. I pray for somebody, the kind of blessing you have never seen in your family before, you will get them. I said the kind of blessing that no one has ever seen in your generation, God will bring it your way. In the mighty name of Jesus. I say, God will bring your way. In the name of Jesus. As I conclude, people of God, open heaven is certain only for the pure. Only open heaven is certain only for the pure. The glory that awaits the church of Jesus Christ demands that we clean up and change our garments. The pathway to honor, to lifting, and glory is holiness. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 3 says, break up your fallow grounds. Jeremiah 4 verse 3. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Fallow ground means uncultivated land, untilled ground. God is saying to us, every one of us has a duty to deal with that area of our lives. You deal mercilessly with that area of your life. You know your life is not pleasing to God. You must deal with it. It is your responsibility. There are certain things in your life that must die for you to live. For you to make progress, there are some things that must die. There are some things that you must give up to go up. There are things that you must do to make the hand of God to come in your direction. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the heart, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You must give up something to go up in life. And until there is a breakup, there won't be a breakthrough. Until there is a breakup of your fallow ground, there will never be a breakthrough. He says, so in Jeremiah, where we have read, chapter 3, verse 5, he says, so not among tongues. You know what it means to sow among tongues? The word sow, it means to labor. It's to labor. But you could imagine when you are sowing among tongues, you are sowing among things that will not give you its yield. Those tongues, we shook them up. And that's what we do when we are sowing without consecration. I pray that will not be your story. That's why we need to deal with ourselves. We need to deal with ourselves. I will read somewhere in the scripture from Malachi chapter 1. I will read paraphrase Bible, verse 6 to 12. He said, look, Israel, you don't have to suffer the way you are suffering. And I want you to listen. Look, Israel. God is talking to somebody in the house. Look, my son, look, my daughter. You don't have to suffer the way you are suffering. This is the word of the Lord. The fear of God is no longer in your hearts. That is why your offerings are polluted in the sight of the Lord. That is why those who are outside the church look better than you. It's a paraphrased Bible. Why are the people looking better than us? Why is God blessing the unbeliever? Because the fear of God has left us. If you have the fear of God, you will pay the right tithes. If you have the fear of God, you will serve the Lord with all your heart. If you have the fear of God, you will not play with sin. If you have the fear of God, your life will be consecrated to the Lord. God is calling us to a life that is dedicated to Him. You can't have access to your divine inheritance until you go the pathway of righteousness. Beloved, I want to tell you as I close, your word is waiting for you. I said your word is waiting for you. He said the word awaits the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. They have not seen anything yet. You are coming out after these 3 days. You are coming out the way God wants you to be. They will come to see. Let's go to see. Have you heard about Him? Let's go and see. Let's go and see. And they will see. I said they will see. I said they will see. They will see the glory of God in your life. They will see the beauty of Jehovah in your life. In the name of Jesus. Let's rise up on our feet to pray. Let's rise up on our feet. Let's rise up on our feet. Let's rise up on our feet. I want you to lift up your hand. Media, do you have this song? When we walk with the Lord in the light. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still. And for all who will trust and obey. At least you know the chorus. Trust and obey. Everybody sing. For there is no other way. Close your eyes. Let's take the song. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. He's on the screen. When we do His good will, He abides with us still. Again. This evening, say, Lord, help me. I don't know where God has spoken to you. I don't know where God has spoken to you. I want you to respond back to God. This is a solemn moment. This is not a time to look around, to look here and there. This is a time to talk to your God. You remember your first love. You remember where you have missed it. Are you still there in the place of evangelism? When last did you do personal evangelism? They call for evangelism in the church. Were you there? It's not important. It's not necessary. Why not ask for mercy? He said, return. If you want to see the blessing of God, you must return. Lord, I have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. They offended you and you resigned from work, from working in the church. If they offend you in your place of work, will you resign from the place because the MD offended you? Pastor talked to you and you don't like. And that's why you're no longer working. Something is wrong with you. 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 You refuse to come to church because somebody offended you, talk to you. Who are you before God? Lord, I'm laid on your altar of sacrifice tonight. I'm laid on your altar. Help me. Help me, Lord. I will trust and I will obey. I will trust and I will obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Christ Jesus but to trust and to obey. Lord, help me. If, sister, if you deal with this issue, God will deal with the issue of your enemy. He said, when a man's way pleases the Lord, he will even make his enemy to be at peace with him. He will make his enemy to be at peace with him. He will make his enemy to be at peace with him. Somebody told me to this morning, why did you not see you in church for two Sundays? Is that because somebody spoke to me? I said, you are not serious. Many of us are not serious with God. We think we are doing God favor when you come to church. You are doing yourself favor. You think you are doing your pastor favor when you come to church. You are doing yourself favor. You are not doing anybody favor. If you don't come, if you resign, God will bring somebody else to replace you. You feel you are big for God. You think you are indispensable. Only God is indispensable. God can do away with you. Lord, don't do away with me. Shanu for me. Don't do away with me. Don't do away with me. Don't do away with me. This is your Bethel. God is asking you to return back to Bethel. The place of your dedication. The place where you had encounter with God. In the place of your prayer. In the place of Bible study. In the place of witnessing. In the place of giving. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Time to return, beloved. The returning must be total. It must be genuine. It must be with all your soul, with all your heart. You have been in disagreement with somebody and you don't talk to that person. And you are a child of God. You come here to eat Holy Communion. Something is wrong with your spiritual life. You are opening your life for the enemy to attack. When last did you fast? You have a personal fast. Money has come now. Then you don't have time for God. No time for prayer and fasting. When church called fasting, the last time, were you there? Lord, help us. We ask for mercy tonight. We have come to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's why we are here, Lord. If you mark iniquity, who will stand? You are a merciful God. Mande bosunda rakata, bos karibo zunderia, karibo zunderia. Lord, let there be a restoration tonight. Let there be a restoration. Restore us back to our first love. To the place where we started with you. Ishe Oluwa Koleba Jeho Ishe Oluwa Kole baje o, kole baje o,
kole baje o, kole baje o, kole baje o.
Ishe Oluwa,
kole baje o.
Father, I bow my knees before your presence. And I say, Lord, I ask that, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Daddy, we have all sinned. We have all missed it. In different ways, in one way or the other, Daddy, we ask for restoration tonight. We ask for mercy tonight. You will restore us back to our first love. In the mighty name of Jesus. Restore us back to where the place of our dedication, a place of our renewal, a place where we started with you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let this war we have had tonight, let it not be our judge. Let there be a shower of your blessing as we return. Upon our lives, upon our families, upon our career, upon our businesses, upon our salary, upon our every area of our lives, upon our jobs, upon our finances, in the name of Jesus, upon our spiritual life, reign of your blessing, reign of your glory, reign of your power, that every of your deposit in us will begin to find a place of fulfillment to your glory and praise. Jesus' mighty name we are praying.
We trust that you have been blessed by the message you just heard. For more messages, follow us on our social media platforms at Foursquare Jeb. God bless you.